Good evening. Welcome to the live stream Bible study, the Olson Park Church of Christ. My name is Kyle Pope. I preach for Olson Park. Olson Park is a non-denominational congregation of Christians seeking to follow the Bible as our sole guide, and we are so thankful that you've chosen to study God's Word with us this evening. It has been some time since we have done a live stream like this. Thankfully, we have been able to come together on Sundays and assemble as a church for worship. And then in September, we started having classes with all ages in the auditorium, and that's been going very well. However, the reason that we're not able to do that tonight is because for the last 3 days, the panhandle of Texas has been hit with a pretty serious winter storm. We've had snow and ice, and our parking lot right now is kind of like a skating rink. And so the elders made the decision not to assemble this evening, but to offer a live stream. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And we're certainly happy that you have chosen to be with us because of those circumstances. We do ask you, though, to remember those of our number who are sick and shut in. And we do have some that are grieving because of some recent losses. You might check on our members section or the members Facebook page and find out information about that. But please keep those folks in your prayers. Also, if you didn't get a chance, the bulletin for Sunday, please take a look at that. The title of it was No Problem, kind of drawing off of that phrase as a way to say you're welcome and how sometimes that can be understood in different ways. And that leads us into some scriptural kinds of examples where words that are used in the world may be used in a way that's different from what we see in the New Testament. We would encourage you to make use of our website, www.olsonpark.com. You may leave a message for us at the building, 806-352-2809, or you may call me on my cell phone, 806-341-1686. Before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the ways that you bless us. We ask that you'd be with those of our number that are sick and that are grieving the loss of loved ones. Be with them and help us as we have opportunity to comfort them. Dear Father, I pray that those who are sick as well, especially those that are facing this COVID-19, will be able to recover. We pray that a vaccine, a cure, will be discovered soon and that this will be put behind us. We pray also for our country and the difficult times that it's going through right now, especially as we face an election that's coming up. I pray that your will may be done and that leaders may lead in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We thank you for our opportunity to study from your word this evening, and we pray that you'll help us to open our hearts and minds. Be with me as I lead this study. Help me do so in a way that's sound and in keeping with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to start with a text in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look together at verses 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12, beginning in the verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I call your attention to some wording right at the very beginning of this reading, where we see the encouragement to keep your lamps burning. And that's a beautiful thought here in the context of watchfulness. And I'd like for us to use that as a little bit of a springboard to consider some things that Scripture teaches in general about lamps and this idea especially of watchfulness. There's a parallel text that we find in 1 Peter. And I say parallel, perhaps a better expression is to say that it is similar, because there are some ideas that are expressed in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like you to look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look together beginning in verse 13, and we'll go down to verse 16. Peter writes, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That was really the opening idea there in verse 35 of Luke chapter 12, to be girded, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as you did in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There we see that call to readiness, that call to be what we ought to be, no matter what time it is, no matter how long it takes, no matter what's going on. Now, what we're focusing on, and I really want us to think about, is that idea of keeping your lamp burning. Have you ever thought about some of the different ways that that idea of a lamp is used in Scripture? For example, we will see in Scripture man's spirit described as a lamp. This is one of my favorite examples of this type of thing. If you go with me to Proverbs chapter 20, in Proverbs chapter 20, we will see in verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 20, our spirits described in this way. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. Think about that. Our spirit, and we talk about this sometimes, especially as we think about Romans 8. How is it that the spirit intercedes? Well, the spirit has contact with our spirit. And so the spirit knows the thoughts of our heart. And here it's described as if that lamp is that which illuminates and allows the Lord to be able to see what are the contents of our heart. And how important that is, if you'd go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, there's a statement that is made there that certainly echoes this idea of the importance of being watchful. And I want you to notice with me in verse 9, our text says in speaking here to Solomon, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Think about that idea. Our spirit as a lamp for the Lord to see who we really are, to see the thoughts of our heart, to see our content within us. That's an important idea that we must recognize. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we'll notice here the psalmist in this very familiar psalm describes the depths of this knowledge that God has of us. But keep in mind that we read earlier that the way in which he has that knowledge is through that lamp of our soul or spirit within us. So, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Think with me about that in light of the text that we began with. Keep your lamps burning. As we think about our lamp in the sense of the Spirit that is within us as a lamp to the Lord, to all of our inner thoughts and our heart, are we keeping our lamp burning as we ought to? Are we keeping our soul and our spirit clean? Are we filling ourselves up with the light of God's Word? If not, let's make sure we keep our lamps burning. Let's think about another way in which this is used. And if you go with me to Psalm 119, and here I want us to notice, again, a very familiar psalm, but in Psalm 119, let's notice how in this passage, it's not the spirit of man that is described as the lamp, but instead, it is the very word of God that is described as a lamp. And if you go with me, this very long psalm, Psalm 119, go down to verse 105, and let's read verse 105 down to verse 112. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Now think about it here, because this is certainly a different way of thinking about a lamp. But I like to use kind of the same idea that's expressed in Luke chapter 12. Keep your lamp burning, in that sense that God's Word is the lamp that directs our path and our life the way that it ought to be. Are we keeping it burning in our life? Are we allowing it to be that which directs us through the darkness of this world? If not, we need to keep our lamp burning brighter. Over in the New Testament, if you look with me at a couple of passages in the book of John. First, in John chapter 11, I'd like you to notice some things that Jesus says about light and darkness, and that in that need, the importance of making sure that we are keeping our lamp burning. Notice verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Now think about that. If we are not keeping our light burning by allowing the light of God's Word, that lamp to our feet, to burn brightly and to guide us, we are, just as Jesus put it here, we're like walking about in the night. We're going to stumble because we don't have that light within us. In the next chapter, go over to verse 35 of John chapter 12, and I want us to notice this idea of light and darkness is a recurring theme in the Gospel of John, and really in all of the Gospel and Epistles of John. And I want us to notice this idea as it's expressed here in verse 35, where we see the importance once again of making sure that the light that guides us, the light of God's Word and His law, we keep burning. Notice verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Now, in this sense here, He's talking about the guidance that He personally, while He is with them, provides to them. And so He says that they have that a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Now, unlike the apostles that were able to walk with Jesus directly, we don't have His light with us in that same sense. But do we not have His teachings? Do we not have the gospel in the pages of the New Testament that reveal to us that light of God, that just as the psalmist describes it, can act as a lamp to our feet? Let's look at another way in which this idea can be expressed. And I'd like to look at two passages that I think show some powerful ideas about the manner in which we as disciples of Jesus Christ, we as children of God who are in fellowship with God, need to always make certain that we are keeping our light burning bright. Over in Proverbs chapter 13, look with me at verse 9. And notice the Holy Spirit says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Now, I don't believe that's talking about annihilation. I think it's certainly though talking about judgment. It is talking about that degree to which, if I live a life committed to sin, that's eventually going to come to an end. I'll stand before God in judgment and I will be punished. I'll be punished eternally. However, notice the first part of that verse, the light of the righteous rejoices. As I walk in faithfulness to the Lord, as you walk in faithfulness to the Lord, you and I can rejoice. We can rejoice in the knowledge that we are living in the way that God would have us to, and we are therefore pleasing in His sight in this life. But we can rejoice as well in the fact that when that time of judgment comes, it is something that we don't need to fear. It's something that we can rejoice in. You know, most people in the world don't live their life with that sense of peace and joy, knowing if their life comes to an end, they stand before God in a peaceful way. If the Lord should come in judgment, they are ready for Him, and there is great joy and rejoicing in that. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to see kind of an example of that. And part of, I think, what this alludes to, and we're going to touch on this even more in the very next point, but if I am living my life in a way that is faithful to the Lord, not only can I personally rejoice, but that's something that shines forth to those around me. I see there's something different about you and I if we are in fellowship with the Lord. And in spite of the troubles and the anxieties of this life, we don't let that tear us down. Instead, we have that sense of peace within us. That can speak volumes. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it's talking about Abel. And of course, we don't know a lot about Abel. We understand that Cain killed Abel, and he was a righteous man. But I want you to notice a point that the Hebrew writer makes here about Abel. And I want us to think about that in light of our own lives and the manner in which we need to let our lamp keep burning. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, notice this, he being dead still speaks. Abel's lamp is still shining in the sense that his example of faithfulness to the Lord still speaks. Now, that especially leads to the next example that I want us to look at, and that is the way in which we need to keep our lamps burning in the sense of our influence before others. We are probably all familiar with the text that we find in the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. If you'd look with me in Matthew chapter 5, and let's read together Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, in the context of Luke chapter 12, it most certainly is talking about that idea of watchfulness and being prepared, not knowing when the Lord may return. But part of that watchfulness and preparation is that we are doing what we ought to do. And a big part of what we as Christians are charged to do is to have an influence on those around us. In a world of darkness, we shouldn't be surprised that there's darkness. Instead, what we should do as Christians, as children of light, is to do all that we can to let our influence shine forth and to let that example of trust in God, that example of joy and faithfulness, that example of serving the Lord in accordance with His law, regardless of what the world throws at us, that's a great influence that we need to exert. Don't let dark times keep you from allowing the influence of your faith and your trust in God to shine forth. Perhaps those are the times that we need to allow it to shine forth the brightest. We need to keep our lamps burning. Over in Philippians chapter 2, there's a very similar idea that's expressed. Philippians chapter 2, and we've gone to this text many times, but I want us to notice the call that it gives to us as Christians, as it did to those to whom it was originally written. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, listen to this, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now think about that. Were those to whom this was first written lights in the midst of a crooked world? Absolutely. Is there a sense in which this applies to us today as well? Absolutely, because we still live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We still live in a world that turns away from God's law. And as we keep our lamps burning, we can exert that influence for good as we shine forth as lamps in the darkness of this world. One last thing I'd like us to look at, and that is the sense that I think really is the focus of the text that we began with. And I think we would be doing a disservice to the text if we didn't really zero in on that context. In the course of the Olivet Discourse that Jesus gives, starting in Matthew chapter 24 and running through the end of chapter 25, he's talking about preparation and readiness for those events that would come when Jerusalem was destroyed, but beyond that, those events that would come when the Lord would return in judgment. And so at the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, I want you to notice, because there are some parables that are offered, and then there is a judgment scene that is described, a judgment scene that certainly stretches far beyond anything that would come about in AD 70. But I want us to notice here in Matthew chapter 25, this very idea that we read in Luke chapter 12, and I want us to see how the Lord expresses many of the same ideas in the form of this parable, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, there are many things in this that relate so directly to customs of the day that it might be easy for us to kind of get a little bit confused. We don't really have those kinds of situations in the same way where there is a waiting for the bridegroom's arrival. There's a situation in which those who would come late are locked out. But these are utilizing things that may have been much more familiar to them to illustrate that principle to believers of any time, that principle of readiness. You shouldn't be so haphazard in your life that you don't take into account that your life could end at any time. You don't live your life in such a way that you're not serving the Lord faithfully. And really, as you think about keeping the oil for the lamp, that goes to this idea. How can you keep that lamp of faithfulness and service to the Lord, faithfulness in all aspects of our life, whether it be letting God's word shine within us, whether it be allowing our heart and soul to be pure in a way that as God searches our hearts, he sees it in a way that's pleasing to him. We make sure that we've got the oil we need. We make sure that our lamps are burning. We don't want to wait till the last minute. As we see from this parable, we can't really do that. There's not going to be opportunity. There's not going to be time in which all those things that I left hanging, I can make up for, because now I know the Lord is returning. Instead, we need to see that this is a call to faithfulness at all times. And I really think that this is so powerful, because I think that's the beautiful thing about the manner in which the Olivet Discourse addresses things related to the destruction of Jerusalem and things related to final judgment, because it is showing that need for watchfulness and readiness at all times. You know, if the position was accurate that, well, all of it's just talking about AD 70, what would we still have to be watchful for? Why do we still have to be ready? But we recognize that we are ready because he could come at any time. Go back now, if you would, to the passage that we began with in Luke chapter 12. And let's just read it one more time. And let's notice a few of the things that we've talked about. Let's think of it in light of some of the ideas that we've expressed. Especially, let's think of it in light of the parable we just read and see some similar language that our Lord uses here, urging us to keep our lamps burning. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return." Notice, from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, when they may open to him immediately. "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, that's kind of a powerful idea. There are other scriptures where Jesus will talk about the need for us to be faithful come what may, because it's not usually that the master serves the servants. But here there's even the promise that that master, when he comes, if we're ready, will serve us. What a beautiful thought. Notice verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. Now, it kind of shifts gears here, because quite often we'll see this idea of the Lord coming as a thief in the Olivet Discourse. We'll see it as well in Paul's writings. We'll see it in Peter's writings as well, that the idea of him coming as a thief at any time. So notice here, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, what a powerful lesson that is. Well, what about you and I? Are you going to keep your lamp burning? Am I going to keep my lamp burning? I want to strive to in my life. And you and I can do that as Christians when we stay faithful to the Lord. We are obedient to His will. We yield our will to His. And in all things, we strive to follow His word. It may be that there are some who are watching this live stream tonight that have never begun that new life in Christ. We had a lesson Sunday morning in which we talked about what the Bible teaches about that beautiful opportunity of new life in Christ. And I'd urge you, if you're listening tonight, if you've never put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, you need to do so. You need to have the courage to confess Him before men, repent of sin that separates you from God, and then yield your life in obedience to the will of God by allowing your old man to be buried in the waters of baptism, that you might rise to walk in newness of life. If you need to do that, please get in touch with us. We'd be happy to help you with that. We rejoiced in a baptism a few weeks ago, and we'd love to have you, even on a cold day like this, be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity we've had to study from Your Word. We pray that the things that we've said have been pleasing and acceptable in Your sight. Once again, we pray, Father, You'll be with our country, be with those of our number who are sick and grieving. I pray, Father, that You'll help us always to keep our lamps burning in faithfulness to You. We love You very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We want to encourage you to make use of our website, olsonpark.com. You may leave a message at the building, 806-352-2809. You may call my cell phone at 806-341-1686. Lord willing, we will. This snow and ice will be behind us, and we'll be able to come together and have worship on Sunday. We'd love to have you join us for that. It'll be Sunday at 10 a.m. In Amarillo, Texas, 4700 Andrews Avenue. We hope that you can join us, but thank you so much for joining us tonight. We hope you have a great evening.